All right. The burden that I am carrying is about our coming revival. Don Miller asked, why are we having a revival? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, it's a thing we do once in a while. Not a good reason. The concept is that, are you familiar with the idea of, there's a word for it, the digging deeper that they do in the fields? If you just have a plow that goes down a certain amount of inches, and you do that year after year, what happens is that the land under that becomes hard. It becomes a pan of some sort that they call it, or a dry pan. And what happens is that the water doesn't soak through that very well. So you have to do this thing that I can't think of the word of it, but you have to dig deeper. You have to crunch up that pan. And when we have a church that is getting along well, and we care about one another and care for others, and we're doing well in missions and so on, we tend to just plow the same thing. But there is more. And a revival should be a time when we come recognizing that there is more to do, that there is a great work for us to get done. And part of that is actually putting ourselves out there and talking to people and bringing them to church, or bringing them to Christ, and then bringing them to church and saying it's time for them to get baptized and so on. That type of growth is what we need, what we're not seeing. And part of that is even in this area of prayer. We recognize the need of prayer, but we don't pray as we should. So let's look tonight at the lack of prayer. And the answer to that is the ministry of intercession. The ministry of intercession, interceding for someone, is praying for them, going to God and praying for them. And where you perhaps would say, things are okay, I don't need prayer. We have several people on our prayer list that say, no special prayer request this week, you know. And that's a blessing. But God calls us to a ministry of intercession. Let me give you some verses. Isaiah 43:22. But thou hast not called upon me, he says to them, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. It's just been same old, same old. Same. And so God says, you haven't called upon me. Isaiah 59:16, he saw that there was no man and wondered there was no intercessor. Things were going bad in Israel. But there wasn't anyone who said, oh, please, God, intercede for us. He says there was none. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, his righteousness has sustained him. God broke up that dry ground, dug deeper. He rousted them out. They weren't taking things for granted anymore. Isaiah 64:7, there is none that called upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. You catch that picture of prayer? Stirring himself to take hold of God. For thou hast hid thy face from us, hast consumed us because of our iniquities. And when we are surrounded by the plagues of this earth, by the collapse of a civilized culture, as we see this happening, somebody was telling me, I don't follow the news very much, the Joel Osteen church, there was a shooting. Mm-hmm. People hear about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A month ago.
And I don't know what the motivation was or if they ever found out what the problem was, but coming shooting up a church, even a Joel Osteen church, would be terrible. Jeremiah 10:21, for the pastors are become brutish, like brutes, brute beasts, and have not sought the Lord. When the pastors don't, the shepherds don't seek the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. The hedge is that tight vegetation they put around the garden to keep the little animals out. But there was a hole in the hedge, you see. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Daniel 9:13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. In James 4:2, he says, you lust, meaning strong desire, and have not, ye kill. You desire to have, cannot obtain, ye fight and war. I want what I want. I'll hurt somebody to get it, you see. Yet ye have not because you ask not. So we pray too little. Men see and notice most of our good works for God. These are good, but they carry their own reward in the eyes of man. It dawned on me one time that perhaps the one thing that we might do that will get us the greatest reward in heaven will not be our giving or our singing or our talented ushering, but our prayer when it's done in secret before God. Because only He knows and only He can reward us. Only our labor of prayer is unseen to man, to be rewarded by God alone. Each of us finds our day crowded with duties and opportunities to serve God and man. We may have the tendency to relegate prayer to the bottom of our list of priorities. Well, that's good, I should pray, but I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But this is poor thinking. This is poor planning. Pride can easily sidetrack our efforts. I need to do this, and people will notice. So I'll leave that praying in isolation till later. I say poor planning. So let us early turn to God. Let's give Him the first part of our day. I have to wait until my head is thinking before I go to God in prayer, so it doesn't happen when I just wake up in the morning. Bowing in utter humility before Almighty God allows us to see that our little efforts mean nothing if done in our own strength and willpower. When we neglect the prayer, it ends up we're doing this in our own strength. We're not relying on Him. We're not asking Him for that strength. So we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, but have you taken the time to experience the deep wrestling with God? Prayer time that's more than just a minute or two? Many lead an earnest Christian life with prayer enough to keep them from backsliding and to maintain the position they have, yet they do not grow in spirituality. They do not grow in Christ-likeness. Read through the Gospels again. He rose a great while before day, went out to pray, off by himself, just he and his Father. And would do that, you know, have hours of prayer before the day began for the normal person. So, think of it this way. Let us not practice prayer merely to ward off temptation, as important as that is. Let us reach out for more, to grow in strength, to gain the large experience of God's power. We must exercise more definite and persevering prayer. The times that I have spent the most in prayer, most dedicated, the most deeply felt, I guess I could say, was when a terrible problem was upon me. Something very personal, my parents' illness, or someone came to me one time and said they thought this girl that they knew was demon-possessed. And I spent the next hour wrestling in prayer for that girl. I never did lay hands on her or hold a cross on her forehead or anything. I just prayed. And at the end of that time, she got up and walked out of her room and seemed to be okay or better. How deeply do you feel about the need you're praying for? 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength, you see. Seek his face continually. When it says pray without ceasing, when it says pray, seek his face continually, it doesn't mean every second of the day. It means don't give up on your praying. Don't have a day when it never comes up, you see. Luke 18:1-7, and he spake a parable unto them, to this end, to this purpose, parable to teach them this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Faint is to is just give up. Oh, no use. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Are we praying in such a way that God will be led to answer? Are we crying out day and night? Are we crying out? Though he bear long with him. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Here when prayer is used, prayer is asking. Supplication is begging. In the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance. Keeping at it, staying with it, and supplication for all saints, the ones you know, the ones you don't. My wife was with me while I was taking my morning pills when I do my prayer time, so I couldn't lead in prayer because I was eating pills, but I asked her to lead us in prayer for our grandchildren at Bob Jones, and then also for the family missionaries, the bunches that are out serving the Lord as a whole family. And this is where it's not just me and mine, but those who are out and doing the work. So my point is this. Let us decide, let us choose to become intercessors. Romans 2:18, and knowest his will, we know what God wants, and approvest the things that are more excellent. Good is not good enough. We choose to approve the best, the most excellent, being instructed out of his law. Philippians 1:10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. The day of Christ is the judgment seat of Christ where we receive our rewards. And I think of it this way, that unless you determine to pay the price of time and patience, you will never experience God's power of the heavenly world in ours. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Christ said. See heavenly world in our world. When the topic arises, talk about prayer, we realize we do not give prayer the place it should have in our life, the place of honor, the place of priority. We are faced with problems that seem impossible to solve. We forget that the word impossible means nothing to God. It's an impossible concept. The God who existed by himself and then created the universe is not beset with impossibilities, you see, of things to do. What are you willing to sacrifice in your life to gain a true and full prayer life? Luke 18:27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We're just seeing things on earth made by God, set up the way he does, and say, well, to change it would be impossible. God established it. He can change it any way he wants. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace, all empowering, abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, you may abound to every good work. Don't say, I don't have the time. Say, I have not made the time. I have not taken the time. I have not taken the opportunities. God calls you to a life of much prayer and not to a life of continued self-condemnation. Oh, I'm just no good. Such a life of prayer is to be a joy. Envision God giving you strength enough for all your work and then sending his power to work through you. The light of Scripture that reveals our sin of prayerlessness and condemns us for it will also show us the way out of it. The Bible leads us into a life that pleases God. So let us turn our sorrow of lack of prayer into the very means of blessing. And how do we do that? Begin with God's word, not just the urging of men, not just my sermon on it tonight. But begin with God's word to find what place God means prayer to have. Gain a fresh sight of what prayer is according to the will of God. How does God see prayer? And then envision what your prayer can be through God's grace. Then with your whole heart, your whole soul, mind, will, and emotion, yield to God's will. You say, well, I just have these difficulties. You see? Well, complaint about difficulty will leave you as we yield our will to God's will. Do you not agree that prayer is one of the greatest spiritual functions of the Christian life? I don't think anybody would argue with that. So see the place God means prayer to have in your life. Refuse the shallow Christian life. Take hold of Christ's promise of the true and abundant life. As you develop a true prayer life, you also gain a closer relationship with your blessed Father. So, let your failure in prayer to teach you to turn to him. Find in him the grace he gives to pray properly. Humble prayer becomes your greatest blessing. So as we gather in prayer meeting, let us join our hearts as well as our minds in praying to God, to do it with our whole heart. Let him transform our cold and loveless hearts into his divine plan of intercession, to step out in front of people on their way to hell, on their way to damnation. Surely this is the greatest need of the church and of the world. So, intercession pleads God's power to change the world. Only supernatural power can enable the church and God's word to influence the world. And we properly complain of the intense spirit of worldliness that we see all around us. But God has given us the avenue of change. James 4:2. You have not because you ask not.